Hi, everyone. We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program. Caregiver Dave, this is Andy. Dave, how are you, man?
I'm
And
doing great.
you were in Mexico for 2 weeks, man. You
3 weeks.
know,
3 weeks.
three
Don't cheat me out
weeks.
of a week.
So I have to make up for like six or seven interviews in the next 2 weeks. But hey, it's always fun. And I went during that time, I interviewed 50 speakers in 2 days,
Oh my
52
gosh.
to be asked on my show. So that was crazy. My guest today's author, Dr. Brian Boxer Watchler. Dr. Brian, thanks for stopping by. And you know what's really interesting is you're going to talk about social media addiction. A lot of doctors I talk to aren't addicted to social media. They stay the hell off it. So tell your story. Tell me your story.
Neil, this was something I did not expect to happen. I'm a doctor. Like you said, it's not something people even think about that could happen. But during the pandemic, when things slowed down, my twin daughters, who were 14 at the time, said, "Dad, there's some really good doctors on TikTok. And if you want, we can show you, get you started, and we think you'd be great." So I said, "Okay, I'm up for it as long as you don't make me dance." And I found my niche pretty quickly, finding videos that went viral with hundreds of thousands or even millions of views. But the information, the health information particularly, was not accurate. So I was calling out those videos. And in Gen Z ease, the word CAP, CAP, means not true. So I eventually developed my own little blue hat that said CAP. I put it on, and videos that had accurate information, I would say they're not CAP. And I would find I'd be waking up in the morning and having 5,000 new followers, 10,000 new followers just overnight with these videos that had been exploding, going into the millions of view ranges. And that's what eventually got me kind of hooked, essentially, on social media, because what's
Wow.
underlying it is the dopamine. And
Yeah.
that's that feel-good hormone. And
So
behind all
everybody
these,
wants you.
yeah, and you just kind of keep going back for more and more and more, and it becomes a self-fulfilling situation. A lot of times you don't even know you're getting out of control. And if this could happen to me as a doctor, this can happen to you. And that's why I wrote Influenced, because I wanted people to see the warning signs and show people, from somebody who's been in it on the inside, as well as knowing all the research that I had taken upon myself to find and put into the book too.
So you're no longer addicted to social media?
Well, what happened is that,
Recovering?
well, I had a basic situation where my family, my daughters, and my wife had literally a TikTok intervention with me,
Oh my
because I
gosh.
would be ignoring them. They're talking to me, I'm answering DMs, I'm responding to comments, I keep refreshing to see how many more views those videos are getting, and I wouldn't even be listening. And they come home at the end of the day, and as a father, I should be interested in what they're doing. And it was quite the opposite. So they eventually had this sit-down intervention, and ultimately I did get over it, and saw what happened, and I felt tremendous remorse for how I had really missed out on so much in my family at that time
Wow.
and how I let them down. So
What
yeah, so at this
time
point I'm
period was
together.
this?
This was over probably a course of about a year and a half.
Oh my gosh. And so did you make so because everyone goes on social media, it's a business owner or has a business of some sort, did you make money becoming an influencer on TikTok?
That's not why I went on, Neil. I wanted to do this as a public service. So I don't even say I'm an eye doctor in my bio. I just say doctor. And I wanted people to understand what health videos were accurate and which ones were not, because the algorithm doesn't care about accuracy. So people could get into some serious trouble relying on some of these things that sometimes are even dangerous or have really serious side effects. And at the least, they do something expecting a result and they're not going to get it. So I was doing this really for public service, although I do some sponsored posts with some brands that have approached me that have legitimate products I've researched. And so I have experience knowing about how to do that. And also, I've written about that in the Influenced book as well.
Well, I was going to ask what made you think that you were out of control, but you had the intervention and they made it pretty clear to you.
How is that now? I mean, are you still doing the public service out there somehow and managing to balance it? Or did you just go off cold turkey?
I definitely have a balanced approach to it now. So I'm still very active. I have over 3 million followers on TikTok and over 100,000 on Instagram. So, but I approach it with a balanced perspective now, because at the time, you know, it was like a wildfire that got started with a match, and it can easily consume you without you even knowing. And if I'm a doctor and this happened to me, this can happen to you. This can happen to anyone.
Sure.
And I interviewed about 15 other well-known influencers for the book too. And their experiences were very similar to mine. People you think, oh, these are experts, they're influencers. But you know, at the end of the day, we're all human and we're all susceptible to that dopamine addiction. True. And that's why they had the similar experiences to various degrees. But they're in the book because of that openness that they wanted to share to help other people see those warning signs too.
I think everybody goes through something like that. I mean, when I first got on Facebook, I remember kind of going through something like that. Now, did you have a similar experience with Facebook, or was that totally different?
Totally different, because Facebook, I just go on, I share some things for my friends or maybe share some things for the practice, and that was it. I didn't have that growth that happened on TikTok. I mean, it's like literally being put in a rocket and being shot right up into the moon, to outer space, to the moon with that velocity. And that's, you know, all this dopamine is sloshing around in your brain, just saying like, oh my gosh, it feels so good. You want to do more.
I mean, yeah. And I see that, and I try to keep my mouth shut in a way. I was addicted to Clubhouse and
characters. You sure were.
Say, okay, thank you. And I found out I was getting business there, but I found out what the hell am I doing there when I could just do my own podcast and get all the leads and business I want just by interviewing people and then have a control of my schedule. Because Clubhouse was so crazy and we thought it was the next TikTok. It sure as hell didn't become, but right. I was first to the party. I was first to the monetize, meaning I was an OG. I was the next level of an OG. Wouldn't you say, Dave, some of these rooms, I was like being modded by all these people. Grant Cardone shows up in my room. Different things happen. But
those guys were addicted too.
Yo, they're truly, and there's still people addicted on Clubhouse. So
they were on there for like 9 hours straight.
No, they were staying there because that platform, only thing you could do is stay on there. And there were some major, major players. And then everyone else copied it. Whoever the owners of Clubhouse were, they made a mistake and they messed up, because if they would have sold to LinkedIn or did something else, they would probably be in better shape than just being a platform that's going to be obsolete in years. But what my point is, I'm as addicted to podcasting and radio as well when I first started it out, because the dopamine of I'm interviewing this celebrity, and I wasn't thinking about the monetization. So all of those people you interview, Dr. Brian, do you feel that they became very wealthy being an influencer, or do you think some of them were just so addicted it really didn't end up in wealth? Because again, social media, people all want to be social media influencers, but the number of them that really truly make a lot of money are very few. Right? Not a huge.
That's correct. I mean, the people who can actually pay the rent, it's a small percentage. And some of the influencers who I interviewed who are in the book are ones that this is their full-time job and they're paying all their bills because of their influencer work. And they're really good influencers. They are the true sense of being an influencer, good influence, because there's also bad influencers too. And for other people I talk to for the book as well, they do this on the side. They have other full-time jobs like myself or their other doctors, and they're doing this for similar reasons as I'm doing this for. It's not their primary job. So it was a mixture of influencers I really had the special opportunity to talk to for the book Influenced.
And that's the problem, the dopamine of the rush of different things. I'm interviewing these celebrities. You know, I'm a former pro wrestler. Holy cow, I just interviewed this person. And I wasn't monetizing it. I sure as hell do now, but I wasn't then. And I wasn't seeing the big picture of things because, oh my gosh, everyone's talking to me more. And I'm in the rush of the crowd when I was a professional wrestler. And I was walking in front of crowds and we were wrestling for hardly anything at times to make the big time. And I never, it was close. But if you read that, watch those documentaries, whenever you're in an entertainment field, people think, oh my God, you're wealthy is beyond belief. And a lot of these guys, even that are actors, yeah, they got the rush, but they don't have the paycheck to show us.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, that fame doesn't always equal wealth. That's 100% true.
You have to figure out all that. All right. Dave has a caregiving question. This is interesting to a doctor. Go ahead, Dave, with your caregiving question.
Yeah, so I'm a mobile gas station owner for 42 years or even longer. And 25 years ago, my wife had a headache, wouldn't go away. And then that turned into a stroke and she lost her speech, became paralyzed on one side. And the next 2 years was like a living hell for both of us because of the grief period. She was angry and bitter all the time. I didn't even know if I wanted to be married anymore or a caregiver or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I hung in there. We worked it out and found a support group, put my needs first. She slowly started responding and our love was rekindled. And now I became Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. 35 TV shows later and just as many stages later. And I just finished my fourth book bestseller. So my question to you, because I'm trying to reach people before they become caregivers, like I didn't know, you know, just boom, like that, you're a caregiver overnight. It's inevitable. You're either going to become a caregiver, you're going to need a caregiver. And my question to you is, has caregiving touched your life yet? You know, I started caregiverdave.com to kind of help with the online support group.
I found myself in the situation that my dad became ill and I was his advocate because being a doctor, I really know the ins and outs of the medical system. And I think having somebody who can advocate for the person that needs that care is so, so important because our medical system overall has a lot of work, a lot of room for improvement, and it's easy for people to get lost. So yes, I became that caregiver for my dad, arranging his care at home with the assistants that came to take care of him. He had a chronic, you know, situation that he just wasn't going to recover from. So we wanted to do the best we could to improve the quality of life, you know, for him at the end. And, you know, he passed away. And I look back at that as having this amazing opportunity to be his primary, you know, caregiver. I mean, he had other people who were on the ground caregiver, so to speak, but it really makes me feel good that, you know, I gave back to my dad because he had given so much to me. Sure. And I wouldn't be here where I am without him and my mom too, of course.
That's great. Well, that's one of the reasons I was in Acapulco for 3 weeks. I've set up a villa in the millionaire billionaire section of Acapulco. And I am going to be doing seminars now. I have a 6-month coaching program for caregivers, but the feast resistance, or however they say that, the icing on the cake is that it ends with a 7-day, 7-night Acapulco vacation in paradise, all inclusive of meals and everything. And just to get these caregivers away from their situation, take the money that some of their siblings have, maybe their doctors, lawyers, and they can't help, you know, there's always one person that has to have the burden, but and they're guilt ridden because they can't do what they want. Maybe they're geographically far away. So I tell them, get money from them, let them send you on a vacation, let them watch grandma for a week, and you come back refreshed. And because 30% of caregivers die before their loved ones do. So that's my new mission now.
Wow. Wow. Wonderful. That's wonderful.
Everybody should go to caregiverdave.com if you want more information on that. If you're a burned out caregiver or you know a burned out caregiver.
Yeah, you need Brian just to teach you TikTok. You know, Brian, it's amazing the platform, but were you thinking early adopter helped you at the specific time when you came in compared to the number of users now?
I think so, because certainly a lot of doctors were not on the platform at the time. Now there's a much greater number. And even some of my colleagues who were already established at the time on the platform, other colleagues of them were calling them out and making fun of them. Like, why would you be on TikTok? You know, if you're a doctor or you're an attorney. And, you know, then people eventually caught on and saw, wow, this is really a big platform. It's not just teenagers dancing.
Exactly.
There's so much information.
I stayed off search engine because it's Chinese owned. but everyone keeps talking about it, and I'm being tempted to.
So you better, Dave, you better jump on it. But again, it's just like I tried to jump on Clubhouse, and I lapsed at one point. So best place we can purchase the book, Brian. It's such a great conversation, social media, because I love social media. But where can we go? I'm impressed by you. 3 million followers. That's powerful. I tell you, you can monetize in so many ways that you don't even imagine. Yeah. Because I learned how to do it.
And you are the monetizer, Neil.
Yeah, so I know how to do it. So, but go ahead. Where can we check you out, Brian?
Yeah, so you can definitely get a copy of the book everywhere you get books, on Amazon, on Goodreads, on Books a Million, Barnes and Noble, Audible. I actually went into the studio and I read the book myself, which was an incredible marathon experience. You know, 4 days, but amazing outcome. So I always wanted, if people were going to listen to the book, I wanted them to hear me, because I understand those nuances better than a professional voice actor, you know, who does, they do great jobs too.
Yeah. But now, I do that too with my book. An author needs to do that.
Yeah.
It's worth it. It's worth it. And, you know, ultimately, you know, what I'm feeling, the reason that we're even doing this is because I really believe that this is like a 911 situation for so many Americans.
Yes.
And that's the whole reason that I wrote Influenced, so that I could show you those warning signs of addiction, how to manage it, and also just how to navigate social media, even as a parent, exactly, to understand what your children are doing. The book explains step by step in a very easy way how you can help your children on social media. And that's also another reason for
you're doing a huge thing. I appreciate it, Dr. Brian. Definitely, we should stay in touch. Again, anybody, you're definitely a celebrity. You could be monetizing this in so many ways. Trust me on that one. But I appreciate it. And congrats on your success in social media. Finally figured out how you can get back your family from all this. But you're going to help lots of people. And you have a tremendous mission. So thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Neil. And nice to talk to you as well, Dave.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.